Sam Acho, NFL free agent linebacker, NFLPA executive committee member, joins us. Sam, what's the reaction to that proposal?
Personally, and I think for a lot of not only players but Americans, I think a lot of people are just fed up. I know a lot of us watched the draft, and that was really an inside look into what the NFL looks like, but also what a lot of corporate America looks like. You see, at least in this scenario, a majority of white male owners or white male coaches, and then the employees are, at least in the NFL specifically, are predominantly African-American. And so you wonder, man, where are the people of color? Where are the minorities? Where are the women? Where's the diversity? And I think that's, it's like one of America's best kept secrets. No one knows who's in charge, especially in corporate America, but we got, because of COVID, we got an inside look to who's in charge. And I think it just opened some people's eyes into a bigger problem that's going on in our country, which is a lack of diversity, especially in positions of power.
Sam Acho, are you related to you know, Emmanuel Acho? You guys related?
Never heard of him. I never heard of the guy, man. I never know. No, he's my little brother.
He's a brother. Okay, cool.
He's my little brother. Yeah.
Cool, man. I honestly didn't know. These guys are laughing. I'm asking. I didn't know. So I'm curious about this, right? When it comes to diversity in NFL, the programs don't seem to matter. The incentives, it seems like it's about owners believing that minorities can lead teams, whether that's as executives or head coaches. How can that be changed, the perception of whether or not these minority candidates can be leaders?
Well, like I said, it's not just an NFL problem. It's a United States of America problem. Unfortunately, we don't know as much of the statistics in the Fortune 500 or 100 companies, but I see the same thing happening in the business world. The people who are in positions of power are predominantly white males and no one else. And if people talk about the what they call it, a glass ceiling for women in certain industries, you cannot go above a certain level. It's just quote unquote the way it is. And then we see that same glass ceiling for minority coaches in the NFL. The highest you'll see, right, there's two coaches of color right now, as far as head coaches, but the highest you'll see is maybe a position coach, maybe a coordinator, but you won't, it's very rare to get past for an African American to get past being a coordinator. And if you do, you're on a short leash. And no one wants to say it, but my proposal, my suggestion, not even a proposal, but a suggestion would be ask the people who are in those positions what they would need and then listen to them. I think oftentimes you see people in power trying to figure out solutions without actually trying to get some input. And so I think you ask the Eric Bieniemies of the world, you ask the Todd Bowles of the world, you ask the Byron Leftwiches of the world, hey, what would it take for you to get – first of all, do you feel like you've gotten a fair chance? And if not, what do you think we need to do to make it better for you? The tough part will be trying to get the right answers, because oftentimes you see that no matter what you say, you can't really move the yardstick in this example as much as you'd want to.
Sam Acho joining us. Is there an incentive system that would work in your mind?
I see, that's the thing. The problem is it can't be about incentives. It's got to be about giving the right coaches the right opportunities. The problem with the NFL is that there's so much cronyism. It's all about who you know. Oftentimes, and I've seen this, I'm going on my 10th year in the NFL. I played 4 years in college at a top program, went to the national championship, played in high school, the whole deal. Oftentimes, NFL coaches aren't the best coaches. They're not. Oftentimes, people talk about the politics and the business of football. It's about who you know, and no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to talk about it, but NFL is about who you know. Now, when you see really good coaches come about, you really get excited. That's why for me and a ton of players, you get happy when you get a coach who's actually a good coach, not just the guy who knew a guy who knew a guy. That's what happens. I got a buddy, gets in the door, and all of a sudden he becomes a position coach or a linebacker coach or a head coach or whatever, as opposed to giving the best possible candidates an opportunity. So do I think an incentive system is the way? No, because will an incentive system add one or two more coaches of color? Maybe, but I think there's a bigger issue that needs to be talked about, which is the lack of diversity, the glass ceiling in the entire United States, not just in the NFL.
Sam Acho here, free agent, linebacker, NFL PA executive committee member here on Sunday morning. Sam, when I talk to college coaches about this same issue, the one thing they tell me is we don't have opportunities to get in front of the decision makers and to let them get to know us, to have an opportunity to present ourselves as potential leaders. If you had more of these opportunities, these networking events, how confident are you that the decision makers in the NFL would take those events seriously?
Well, to be honest, I don't really think it's about the networking events. Oftentimes people make hires based on who you know or what you know or what you're comfortable with. So if I'm a 45-year-old white male, I'm probably going to be more comfortable with another 45-year-old, 40 to 50-year-old, call it, white male. So if those are the people who are making the decisions, they're going to hire people who look like them. That's just the nature of the beast. I got a chance to do some stuff in D.C. and go get a chance to meet with some senators and try and lobby Congress to just change laws and just to help people. And if you just go through Congress, all you'll see, whether they're senators, representatives, you'll just see a bunch of older white men and then a bunch of younger white men. And then you'll see young white women who are there kind of as the secretaries. And it really was appalling to me because no one knows these are the people who are voted into the positions to lead. But what happens? You get a senator in, and then all of a sudden they've got a friend who's got a son, and now their son's interning. Now all of a sudden that son's got to head up in order to get in that position of power. So will a networking event make a difference? Maybe slightly, but there's got to be a bigger barrier broken that says, hey, you can't just hire somebody based off of what they look and based off the fact that they look like you. You have to hire somebody because they are the best candidate, not just because you're familiar with them.
I'm curious, you know, in terms of, you know, what you're talking about, how that pipeline can both be created and respected. I think about the Mike Tomlin story and how, you know, I don't know that he was a top three candidate with the Steelers. They bring him in. They're wowed by him. You know, why aren't more minority candidates getting that opportunity to wow an NFL owner and executive and to prove that they can do these jobs?
It's because I believe a lot of the general managers and owners and decision makers already know what kind of candidate they want as a head coach. They already know. Or if it's the owner, they already know what they want in a general manager. So when you implement the Rooney Rule, oftentimes coaches and GMs will just interview African-American and minority candidates just to check it off the list with no real opportunity to get the job. And that's widely known around the league. Not every team does that, but there are certain teams that will just satisfy, quote-unquote, the Rooney Rule. That's why you see the Rooney Rule that was implemented years ago, and yet you see a historic low of African-American coaches in the last, I believe, 14 or so years. And so I believe that more networking events, coaches or general managers or owners will use those events just to check it off the list. I think the real issue that needs to be resolved is I think that there needs to be more transparency, right? More drafts need to be on TV. we need to see who's in these positions of power. And we need to start having conversations about giving coaches opportunities.
We're here with Sam Acho, NFL linebacker, free agent linebacker, NFLPA executive committee member, older brother of Emmanuel Acho. Let me ask you this, Sam. What will it take for you to feel comfortable and safe to get back onto an NFL field with everything that's happening right now?
Well, that's a great question. That's a really good question. Well, there's 1,900 of us. There's about 2,000 players, so every player's answer may be different. But I just think about what does safety look like from a player perspective. People talk about we want football back, which is great. But a lot of people can sit at home and watch football from the comfort of their own home, 6 feet apart from whoever they need to be away from. And then you talk about getting coaches back in the building. Well, coaches have their own offices. So coaches could stay apart if they'd like to as well. 10, 15 coaches. You talk about getting 90 guys in a locker room. I mean, I got three lockers within 6 feet right there. That's three guys right there within 6 feet apart from each other. And so what it would take for me is a lot of patience and a lot of wisdom. People talk about Dr. Fauci in D.C. People listen to him. But now it seems all of a sudden now people in positions of power are now trying to lobby governors or for people from different states to open up their state so that sports can be played. I'm in Arizona right now, and Arizona's opening up for all sports in the next couple of days if they haven't already. Every sport. They're thinking about it from an economic perspective. And so what it would take for me would be I would need a lot of patience. I would need to see that obviously the numbers were trending downward as far as the fatalities that are being caused by COVID. That's what it would take for me. I would need to see that. But the problem is there's also talk about a resurgence in the fall. And so to answer your question, for me, having no fans in the stands doesn't really affect me as much, because I'm still going to be around 90-something guys in training camp. Go down past training camp, that's 50-something, 60-something guys on the roster. Then you add families involved, and people talk about quarantining players. I don't think that's a solution as well. So I would need to see the numbers trending downwards. I would need to see us be patient with our approach, and I would also need to see the players come together and say, hey, this is what it would take for us, not just one player or two players or 10 players. Let's all get together and say, this is what we would need to get back on the field and to be safe.
Sam, we got about 20 seconds here. We heard about MLB pitcher Blake Snell saying he didn't want to take a pay cut to resume the season. How would NFL players feel about a prorated contract to start football again?
Yeah, I don't think players would be excited about a prorated contract at all. I think that we already put our bodies on the line, and now we're talking about a COVID situation where now we might be putting our health on the line even more so. A pay cut is not an option.